All right, guys, we're going to dive in. We're still in Colossians, making our way through chapter 3. It's got all kinds of really good passages, so we'll be in here probably a few weeks. So many good things to go over. I've titled the message today, Things Your Mom Should Have Told You. Things your mom should have told you, or things your mama should have told you. How many of you have mamas? How many of you have moms? Who has a mother? The mother. All right. It's kind of interesting how everybody gets called different names, isn't it, right? This will probably be the most unique Mother's Day message you have ever heard, I bet. If you haven't been around me much, you'll realize that I don't really necessarily do good tying always to holidays, especially when we're preaching through a book. We're going to preach what the scripture says, but today should be interesting. I do want to say this today, and this is very important from a kind of a big picture perspective. We always want to preach the whole counsel of God. Do you guys know what that means? That means the preacher usually doesn't just go through and decide, I'm going to pick this passage and I'm going to pick this one, but I don't really want to talk about that one. When we do, especially when we're preaching through a book like we are right now, we go from beginning to end. And so we go and we deal with everything in between. So we're not setting aside any part of God's word. So today I want to challenge you with the idea that what we're going to look at is part of this whole big picture of pursuing God. Let's look together in Colossians chapter 3 and begin in verse 5. The word of God says this. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. Do you guys remember, I think it was maybe around, was it Christmas time a year ago? Do you remember that little blue and gold dress deal that was floating around the internet for a while? It was kind of interesting, and I didn't think about this till later this morning, or I would have put a picture up. But basically, there was this dress, this picture, and when you asked people to look at it, you would say, what color is it? Is it blue or is it gold? And what was very interesting is it was very divided about whether it was blue or gold. Today, I'm going to show you a picture, and I guarantee you that in this room, people are going to see this phrase differently. And what I'm going to try to do is help you see the phrase, and then when all is said and done today, what I want to help you to see is I would like for you in your heart, and this is where the Lord has really convicted and challenged me, is to be willing to set aside anything that the Lord asks you to set aside, to pursue and to know him and for his glory. Okay, you might say that right now, it's pretty easy. It's going to get harder. Okay, so a friend of mine on Facebook yesterday, he posts a picture of a t-shirt. And he asked people, what do they think about this t-shirt? And when I read it, there were 200 comments. Like, I could not believe how this thing went crazy. What was interesting is I knew a lot of the people who were commenting on the picture, so I had a little perspective of the direction that they were coming from, okay? So today I'm going to show you this picture, and what I'd like for you to do is to think about your first impression. When you first see it, what does it make you think of? And so go ahead and pull up the picture there, Diane. This is a t-shirt. It says, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. My friend asked on his Facebook post, he said, would you wear this shirt? 200 comments. Like crazy, right? Now, my question to you today is not, would you wear this shirt, okay? My question to you today is, what do you think about when you see that phrase? You can, yeah, put it back there for a second, Diane, just a picture. Leave it there for a second. That's fine. What do you think about when you see that phrase? I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. Now, let me see what you're thinking. And you guys can, again, you don't have to raise your hand. Nobody's taking any polling today. You're in a safe space. The first thing is that some people may be thinking, well, whether or not is cussing a sin? And in today's message, please do not get, today's message is not to decide whether or not it is a sin to cuss or not. Okay? We may have those conversations later. That's not what this message is about. But some of you, when you saw that shirt, one of the things that you may have thought about, well, is it a sin or not a sin to use cuss words, curse words, right? And I bet you along the whole gamut in here, we all have different levels of words that we use that are appropriate and not appropriate, right? That would be an interesting survey actually to see. Which words are you allowed to use? Which ones aren't? Which one does your mom say when she gets really mad? We have all those different levels, right? Okay? Some of you, when you saw this shirt, you're already thinking, well, I don't know. Is cussing a sin? I'm not sure. That's what you're thinking about. The second thing, some people will think this way. Does this person love Jesus, but they really just want to do what they want to do anyway? I think a lot of Christians, when they see that shirt, they're thinking, well, that person, do they really love Jesus? Basically, they're saying, I love Jesus, but I'm going to do whatever I want. Some of you today may be thinking that way when you see this phrase. Some people, and this is what was really interesting to me, a lot of my friends, quote-unquote acquaintances, some were friends from college and stuff, when they saw this shirt, they thought that, well, this is just someone being transparent and saying, well, I love Jesus, but I still have my flaws. And some of you today probably saw that shirt and you thought the same thing. Well, all that shirt's just saying, well, I love Jesus, but I'm not perfect. That's all it's saying, right? And then maybe the last one, I thought this one was kind of good, maybe they are saying it's okay to cuss and love Jesus and they wish others wouldn't be so judgmental. I'm wearing this shirt to try to make all those holier-than-thou Christians realize that they're not as holy as they think they are. And maybe some people thought about that when they saw the shirt, okay? You're probably thinking, this is the strangest Mother's Day message, and what does it have to do with Colossians chapter 3? We're going to get there, okay? Now, here to get you thinking, and this is where I want to challenge you a little bit. Let me give you a few other t-shirts or phrases to make you think just a little bit more about this. Again, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. Let's do the next shirt. I love Jesus, but I cheat a little. Well, everybody cheats a little, right? Right? No? Let's do the next one. I love Jesus, but I steal a little. Would you wear that shirt? Probably not in a store. If you were, you'd be followed by a lot of people, right? Let's do the next one. I love Jesus, but I lie a little. It's okay to lie, right? Just a little bit. That kind of changes your perception just a little bit, doesn't it? It does mine just a little bit. And again, I'm playing with you here, so be careful, okay? Hang on just a second, because the preacher is trying to mess with you here a little bit, okay? Let's do the next one. I'm going to go up a level. I love Jesus, but I do drugs a little. I mean, you could put a lot of things in there. I love Jesus, but I still like my weed. I love Jesus, but I still like to get drunk once in a while. We could go back to the cussing thing because that's getting a little too far, right? Anybody with me on that, how you're thinking? Have I got you thinking that path yet? Let's go another one. This is where we're going today, by the way, so be careful, okay? This is where Paul and the Lord takes us in Colossians 3. I love Jesus, but I worship idols a little. That one doesn't fly for you, does it? Does it fly for anybody in here? Whoa. Wait a minute, preacher. That ain't right, right? I mean, the first shirt might be, but whatever, but this ain't right. Okay, one more, and then I'm going to flip it on you again a little bit here. What is your pet, quote unquote, you guys heard pet sins? Or the sins you have the most problem with? Or the ones that you kind of know, well, maybe you shouldn't be doing, but you do it anyway? Would you put that on your t-shirt? What was interesting is some of my friends were like, well, if you did, then people would know that you're being transparent and that you're still struggling and that, you know, you're trying to serve the Lord, but you're not perfect, okay? But some of my other friends like, if you put that on there, basically you're saying that you love Jesus, but you still do what you want. That doesn't seem right. Well, I thought I would grab you, and I think I did, because you're thinking. I can see your minds are all kind of humming up there. Wait a minute, what are we doing here? Where are we going? All right, I'm going to change these up just a bit. Now, let's see what you think about this shirt. I love Jesus, but I still mess up. Anybody wear that t-shirt? Probably more than the ones I still do drugs a little, right? Okay. One more, same idea. I love Jesus, but I'm not perfect. Anybody wear that shirt? So again, my question to you is, which shirt do you see? I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. Do you see the I love Jesus, but I worship idols? Or do you see as extreme? Or do you see I love Jesus, but I'm not perfect? Those are two really different perspectives, aren't they? On the same types of phrases. And so you have to kind of be somewhat careful, because you may be mistaking what somebody's heart is when they're trying to share something like that. So let me finally this one here. This is one I really like. I made this one up too. I love Jesus, but what? But I judge others. That's probably my t-shirt. Okay? Today, Paul is going to say some pretty specific sins. He's going to lay them out. He's going to exhort believers to put them to death, to mortify them. I love the King James word mortify. And to get rid of them. And I'm betting that your mom probably corrected you about a few of these things a time or two that we're going to look at today, okay? You might even say that she was judging you. Think about that for a little bit, all right? Let's look at what the Scripture says, and then when we get it all done today, I'm going to try to wrap it up and make sure that you understand the point of this crazy t-shirt extravaganza you've seen this morning. Let's look together in verse 5. And the first thing we want to see today, Paul says, put it to death. Mortify your members, is what he says in the King James. I want you to kill some things that are in your life. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? Kill this. Don't maim it. Don't wound it. Don't set it off in a corner. Kill it. That's strong words. That's the kind of message I want you to get that's coming through from this first paragraph. Look in verse 5. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature or your fleshly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. All right, put to death. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. You need to kill these things. These things definitely need to be killed, or what? They will come back to destroy you. Can you hear the Lord today? You guys, this is so important, all right? If you don't kill lust and impurity and uncleanness and greed, it will tear you down. This is serious stuff. That's why Paul says mortify, put it to death. I'm afraid that we live in a culture today that too much tolerates lust. Don't you love that King James word, concupiscence, this evil desires, fornication, immorality. Well, it's a new age. It was the 90s, right? So it's my age right now, right? It's the 21st century, right? Well, it's just things are different now, preacher. They're not like they used to be. If you let these things into your mind and your heart, they will destroy you. You have to continually be putting them to death. Please hear the Lord today. Guys, please hear the Lord today. He's trying to speak to our hearts about this. It's so important. The first thing he says is put to death sexual immorality. I want to say this morning. This is any kind of sexual sin. What's a problem in our churches a lot of times is we get focused on a specific sexual sin, and we want to talk about the problem with that one because most of us don't have a problem with that one, so we'll talk about that one. What Paul is laying out here is anything that is fornication, anything that is immorality, anything that is outside of God's design for marriage should be put to death by us. Again, not my words, the Lord's words through Paul. This next thing he says is impurity. If it's causing you to think impure thoughts, we need to put those things to death. We had such a great Sunday school lesson this morning. Casey and Isaiah did an awesome job. We were trying to come up with strategies against temptation. And what's interesting is there are both positive and negative strategies. Now, the negative strategies are pretty clear. And up here I put move so you can set your mind on something else. That's kind of a defensive strategy, right? When Eve is in the garden, what's the deal? She saw the apple. It was good. It would be good for food. It was pleasing to the eye, and it was desirable to make one wise. What does John write? He says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of what? Life, right? Those are where temptations come from. Well, if Eve would have moved away from the tree, guess what that would have probably done for the whole rest of humanity? It would have been a different story. It would have been somebody else down the road maybe, right? She could have just moved. That would be a great defensive strategy against temptation. But what's interesting here is there's also positive strategies. If I just try to tell my mind not to do things, what's probably going to happen? I better not go to that party. I better not hang with those people. I better not start drinking. Better not. And if you're only thinking about that, you get obsessed with that, and the next thing you know, you find yourself in a position that you shouldn't be, right? And you guys can substitute any sin in there, okay? I'm not just picking on parties today, right? The flip side is true. What if I start putting my mind and focusing on positive things? Again, just bringing up a very simple example, but we went to Servant's Heart. We were putting ourselves in a different place. We were surrounding ourselves and people in need, and we were trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we weren't somewhere where we shouldn't be because we were where we're supposed to be, and therefore we were less likely to encounter temptation in some respects. Everybody follow that? Okay. Impurity, Paul says, put it to death. You're going to have to control your thoughts. For some of us, that means we're going to have to move, and if not just moving ourselves physically, it means we need to move our minds, right? For some of us, it means moving the channel, means turning the station. It means getting a different Instagram or Snapchat or Twitter or Facebook feed. Hello? Some of you need to hide some people on your Facebook feed. You know what I'm saying? Because when you see them, you either have covetousness because you wish you had what they had, or because of what they're saying, you have anger in your heart. Move away from that. You hear what the Lord is saying to you today? Put it to death. Some people say, oh, preacher, this is so judgmental. This is so specific. This is what the Lord is speaking. Very practical things. If you're going to be what you need to be, what did we talk about last week? This is all, again, in the context of this chapter. Set your mind on what? On things above and not on earthly things. If you will do that, you can stay away from this. Next week, we're going to see about all the positive things that we're going to put on, okay? But today we're talking about the negative things that need to be put to death. And this needs to be addressed. Again, the whole counsel of God. What's the next thing we need to put to death? Lust. Very literally, and so you guys stay close with me here for a second. This means passions. This is not just those of a sensual nature, but any passion that is stronger than our desire to know and please our Lord. King James here today has inordinate affections. In other words, they're stronger than they ought to be, right? How many of you here have a passion for food? Man, I do. Lord willing, we're going to take Mama out to the pancake house today if we're all can be in good enough health to get there. And that sounds good to me, right? But if my life is consumed with the idea and the obsession for food and it's affecting my spiritual walk with Jesus, that is an inordinate affection. It is a sin and it needs to be put to death. Whoa, I told you this is going to be a little bit tricky this morning, right? You guys, there are so many things. It's going to be different for all of us here today. But if you find yourself with a passion that is getting in the way of your relationship with Jesus because it's stronger than what your relationship with the Lord is and your pursuit of Him, put it to death. You've got to put that in a controlled space. Yeah, you need to eat, definitely, right? And it's okay to desire to be hungry. That's not a problem. But when that passion is stronger than your pursuit of knowing the Lord, we have a problem. It becomes a sin. It needs to be mortified, all right? This idea here of lust or passion. The next one is this evil desires. How many of you use concupiscence in a word this week? Right? That's just not one we hear very often, is it, right? This is those sensual desires. This is probably what we would, when we say the word lust today, this is what we would think about. When you see those desires acting on your heart, put them to death. You guys, and this is mainly for guys, but ladies, there's a separate track for them if they're interested as well. I think I might even have a couple copies back in my office. There's a book called Every Man's Battle. Basically, every man battles with this, okay? And in this book, it's very some simple things, but it's the idea. The basic ideas are treasure your wife, if you have one, and let her be what your focus is. Again, that offensive strategy. And the defense strategy is what they call bouncing your eyes. In other words, when you come across things that are going to be a temptation to you, you saw it, let it go, and move on. Right? Put it to death. If you don't, it could destroy you. And that's, again, the whole point of this first paragraph here. The next one, and this is where I want to tie all this together for our first paragraph, Paul says greed. And what is interesting is right after he uses the word greed, which we would all say, well, yeah, greed is bad. It needs to be put to death. But he says greed is idolatry. But what I would say here, I would challenge you just a little bit to look at this, that all of these things that we've talked about in this first paragraph are taking place of a passion for knowing and serving God, and when they are idolatry. Again, on my t-shirt today, I said, I love Jesus, but I worship idols a little. How does that go over? You don't love Jesus if you're worshiping idols, right? But the truth of the matter is, Paul says, wait a minute. If you aren't putting to death these things, you're committing idolatry because you're putting other things in the place of your passion for Christ. Whoa. When I see it like that, if I could see it through the Lord's eyes, I think some things it would be so quick for me to say, okay, I'm out of here. If the Lord is walking with you, do you think there's some things you might do different? Are there a few TV shows you might do different? You think you might shop a little differently? Would your purchases be any different? I hope not. I hope because you know the Lord is with you all the time anyway, right? Clue, hello. Word to you. The Lord is with you. But I think a lot of times if he was physically beside us, some of us, me sometimes, would make different choices because we forget that he is with us, right? This is the idea right here. Don't let anything get in the middle of your pursuit of Christ. Any of these passions and desires and this greed, it is idolatry. We would all say, oh no, I would never worship, but I would never bow down before an idol. And yet, time and time again, many of us find ourselves putting another passion between us and knowing the Lord. Paul is making a point that these things will get in the way of our worship of the Almighty if we let them. Don't let these things disqualify you from knowing and serving God. Put them to death. Here's what I want to tell you today. Acknowledge that they are sin. That's the first thing to get to, right? How does the devil work it out? Oh, Eve, the apple looks good, doesn't it? Well, it looks pretty good. But God said we probably weren't supposed to eat from that tree. Oh, don't worry about that. It's just kind of one of those, you know, it's just a guideline. It's not really a rule, right? Does the devil use that tactic on us today? I know that movie's probably not the most appropriate thing, but he has a good plot line. Okay. Let's go back and review some of those scenes. I want to see those again because I really want to get the plot there, right? Does the devil work like that? Yeah. Oh, it's pleasing to the eye. Man, I've got to have. Did you see what she was wearing? Wasn't that the most beautiful thing you've ever seen? Oh, I've got to have one of those. I got to look like that. I will have such confidence and esteem if I can possess that. Oh, did you have the latest this yet? Isn't that cool? I can do 18 things that you can't do yet. I got to have one of those. How the devil works? Oh, man. You guys, he's been doing it for about 10,000 years. He's pretty good. He probably knows you about like that. He can see a few actions that you do, and he's got you figured out because he's already got that list of how that personality works and what their weakness is. The devil will make it and weigh it so that it doesn't seem so bad. And the next thing you know, you're in there a little further and you're a little further, and like a cancer, that sin is eating away at your spiritual growth with Christ. Put it to death. As a matter of fact, that's what they do to cancer, right? What is chemotherapy? It's poison to kill bad stuff in your body. Paul says, put this stuff to death because this is poison, and if you don't kill it, it is going to destroy you. What a great comparison, right? Yes. Lord, help me to acknowledge that this is wicked, that it is evil, that it is sin. That's a first step. And Paul even goes a little further and says, because of such things, what's going to happen? The wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming because of evil concupiscence, because of fornication, because of uncleanness, because of impurity. God's wrath is coming because of these things. It's not a little deal. Jesus died because of these things. It's not a small thing. You hear the word of the Lord. Put it to death. You guys, I preach it to myself as much as I'm hammering you this morning, right? These temptations creep into our life. And sometimes we just kind of rest in them a little bit. And the Lord says, no, put it to death. It'll try to destroy you. And here's what I want you to see. Paul says, and again, this is really important from the scripture passage. He says, you used to walk in these ways. This used to be the life you once lived. Do you hear that past tense there? Again, I want to be careful with our t-shirt this morning. We all have temptation, right? We all still fall down and sin, correct? But Paul says about these things, you used to walk in these ways. You used to live in them. I don't want to go around advertising my old way of life. Hello? I don't want to go bragging on my sinful life and how sinful I was and how rebellious I was. That's not pleasing to God. I don't want that to be what I'm sharing. I am definitely a work in progress, but I'm trying to progress. Hello? You guys follow me on that? It's not enough just to say, well, I'm a sinner, but by God's grace, I get forgiveness. So I don't even really have to work at anything. If that was the case, why would Paul write all these things down? Because they will destroy you if you don't put them to death. Man, let the Lord speak to your heart today. He's really challenging me. At the same time, I want to encourage you this morning, please extend grace to anyone facing these temptations. Right? Heroin may not be your problem, but you got a problem. Heroin may be somebody's problem sitting in here today. So instead of judging them and say, oh, I can't believe they would do that, how can you know them and love them and serve them to help them that they could put that problem to death? Are you with me? Come on now, right? Lust may not be your problem, but it may be your brother's problem. And instead of judging him and condemning him and saying, oh, I can't believe you're such a horrible person, why don't you say, let me pray with you. Let's get together once a week and try to set up an accountability group. Let me encourage you. Don't let me judge you down the drain, all right? Everybody hanging on to that? All right, let me be clear. Let's be very clear on this morning. If you have set your heart on things above, then this list above needs to be on your used-to-be list and not on your I love Jesus, but I still t-shirt list. You hear me? There's no way I would want to put on a t-shirt, I love Jesus, but I still lust. I still have uncleanness. I don't want to advertise my sins. I have those sins, but that's not something I want to brag about. That's something I'm hoping I'm putting to death and the Lord is changing in me. Okay? You guys weigh that out. Obviously, these things are still a problem, but Paul is saying put them to death. The point is there's got to be a change. Do you really want to please Christ? Or do you kind of want to please him, but you really want to do what you want to do? You guys get that? That's an everyday battle, isn't it? Do you really want to please Jesus? Or you kind of want to please Jesus, but I really want to do what I want to do? We need to put these things that are idols in our lives and prevent us becoming everything that Christ died for us to become. It is not worth it. The call here today is to repent and set our hearts and minds on things above. And what I would remind you of, as I do all the time, you need his help to make the change. Please understand that today, okay? I'm not telling you to go out here and be a better person. I'm not telling you to go out here, I'm just going to try harder. You will fail. Go back to the whole Unstuck series. I think we'll probably do it again in a few years. You will fail if you just keep trying harder. You need Jesus to make the change. You need Jesus to help you put those things to death. Seek him. Casey this morning, the first thing she said for our strategy was we should probably pray. What an unbelievable thing. If you're in the middle of temptation and you can invite God into the situation and pray about it, guess what's going to happen most of the time in that situation? You're going to win that battle because now you know the Lord is with you in that setting. What a great truth. Seek the Lord. Put those things away. We need to put some things to death. Ask the Lord for help with the change. That's the only way you're going to make the change. Next thing this morning, I'm trying to move a little more quickly here through this. Paul says not only are there some things that you need to put to death, but there's some things you just need to get rid of. Look in verse 8. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. If you thought you were done with the things to battle, well, here's just a few more, all right? Look again. In verse number 8, we see the first thing is what? Anger. And this is, again, a little penology here, so you guys bear with me on this, okay? Anger is that desire of hatred in your heart against someone else. And you might say, well, I didn't actually do anything to them. When you hate someone else, that is a sin that needs to be gotten rid of, okay? Jesus said that, by the way, in Matthew. He said, well, you say, well, I haven't actually murdered my brother, but you have hatred in your heart, which is just like murder, okay? Get rid of anger. Some of you today may have an anger problem. Seek out counsel, seek out friendship, seek out the word of the Lord, have an offensive strategy, and then get rid of the anger. Let's work together to do that, all right? What's the next one? Rage. Again, this little penology here, but I would say that rage is when you act out on anger. Anybody ever acted out on their anger? One day, my brother and I got into the backyard, and I wasn't just thinking I hate him in my head. I went and laid him on the ground. And I didn't really hate him. I was just really angry with him. But my rage was the action coming out. Some people have a problem with the rage. We all have the anger issue, but that rage is when it shows itself. Get rid of it. Again, ask the Lord for his help. Find some offensive strategy. Get some other people to work with together. That rage is not a problem. How about malice? Malice is when you have that incredible desire for bad things to happen to someone else. It's like kind of the highest level of hatred. It's like you see somebody, and sometimes it comes out of covetousness or jealousy. It's like, Charlie, he has such a great life, and I wish I had that. Why does he get that life? What has he done? I should have a life, but I wish some bad things would happen to him, and then maybe good will happen to me. That's malice. It's a horrible thing. But it usually is fostered out of jealousy that grows into bitterness, that anger, and then it becomes this intense evil desire. If you have any malice towards someone today, you need to get rid of it. And you're going to need the Lord's help to do that. Look at the next one. Slander. I wonder if we live in more slanderous times than any times have ever existed. Again, just go through your little stream, right? If you have a little phone. Wow. How many people are speaking evil of other people continuously? If that's in your heart to slander, to speak evil of others, get rid of it. Now here we're kind of getting back to our t-shirt again today, and I want you to think about this for a second, because most people would see this, and the first thing they would think of when you hear the words filthy language is probably curse words, right? Okay, so just for those of you that think you need ammunition, those of you that wear the I'm going to judge other people t-shirt, this is a little ammunition for you, right? Here in Colossians chapter 3, it says, hey, don't use filthy language. But what I wanted to get to you today is this idea of filthy language is a lot broader than just using a curse word. Okay? People who speak with lewdness, indecency, and immodesty in their conversation have filthy language. And you can do all three of those things and never use a curse word. You guys hear what the Lord's saying today, I hope? It's easy to get tied into those kind of conversations, isn't it? And I'm going to tell you, it's not just young men in high school and college that get in those conversations. And today, it's a lot of young women getting those things. But what I tell you today, it's a lot of old men have those kind of conversations. What did Paul say here? Not me. What did the Lord say through Paul? He said, get rid of it. If you are going to set your mind and your heart on heavenly things, then you need to get rid of filthy language. How about abusive language? Again, many a husband and many a wife has put abusive language on their spouse, and you can do that completely without using a single curse word.
Well, you don't look very good today. What's your problem? How come you never do this for me? Why are you always, you don't recognize, you need to change. We don't need any testimonies this morning, but I bet a lot of us in here have either done that or been on the receiving end of that kind of abusive language, right? Paul says, get rid of it. Again, more than just foul words here, but probably would include some of the use of those words as well. And here I'm going to hit you up here again just for a second, and maybe this will help you as you're debating some of this stuff just a little bit. If you are enjoying the language you are using because it makes you feel rebellious or willing to disregard the feelings of other people, you are probably engaging in filthy communication. What is your motive? And I think Tony Campolo made this real famous, and I'm not going to curse this morning for your benefit, okay? But basically, he laid it out one time. He said a curse word to a whole crowd, and he said, more people of you are more concerned that I just said this curse word than all the people who are starving and suffering in Africa. And that's a pretty good point, right? It's kind of sad that you would be so upset about someone using a curse word, and yet you're almost not even moved by people who are going through such hardship. Now, what Jesus, I think, would say, like he said, when the Pharisees were tithing of their mint and their cumin and their spices, and the disciples kind of looked at them and said, oh, these are hypocrites. But Jesus said, you shouldn't neglect the former and do the latter, which is mercy and justice and love. Right? Point being is control your tongue, but also take care of those in need. Do them both. Don't use one as an excuse to not do the other. Okay? Again, a lot to chew on this morning. I almost want to challenge you on your motives. Because a lot of times when I'm around people who decide that they are really going to go off on a cussing rampage, it is because they are trying to make themselves feel like they're a little stronger by using that language. Now definitely, and make sure they understand what I'm saying here, but definitely there's a time for very descriptive and poignant language. And if you look through your scripture, your Bible, you'll see a lot of it in here. Okay? And so there's a place and a time for very poignant, descriptive, powerful language. By the way, some of you might be like, well, it's just a word. It doesn't really matter. I bet I could come down to you in about 5 seconds. I could say about 10 words to you, and you might be ready to punch me in the nose. Right? Because words matter, don't they? Hey, hello? Yeah, words definitely matter. So don't give that excuse, well, it's just a word, because we all know better than that. It's not just a word. Again, Paul says, get rid of these things. And he says, finally here in this paragraph, do not lie to one another. And again, I would encourage you to speak honestly. Take off the old self, put on the new. That's the big picture. Next week, we're going to look on this put on piece. Next week will be the really positive message. But I guess today we needed some reminder that our mom told us some things, we better hang on to them, right? Being renewed in the image of Christ, we will pursue Christ, and as we do that, we are being renewed by him. We saw this a couple weeks ago, I believe, as well. If you want to, turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And this is probably one of the best battle plans when you're trying to put things to death and you're trying to get rid of things that are problems in your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We're going to look at verse 2 here. You guys know verse 1 is the idea of being a living sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. Chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says, here's what I want you to think about. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. First strategy there, right? If you're all caught up in trying to be what everybody else is, you're going to have a hard time putting anything to death or getting rid of things. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Again, I'm not going to preach this whole sermon today, but notice this idea here. Like a butterfly goes through a metamorphosis. That's the Greek word behind this word, transform. And the idea here is that you are passively letting the Lord work on you. It's not, I'm going to transform myself. It says, but be transformed. Don't conform. That's you. Don't conform. But the transforming part, who does that? Jesus does it. Allow yourself to be transformed by the Lord. And here's how you do that, is you renew your mind. You want to put some things to death? You want to get rid of things? What are you filling your mind with? We did Philippians 4:8 even today in our Sunday school lesson, right? Those things that are lovely and pure and honorable and good and praiseworthy. Think on those things. guess what? As you renew your mind, the Lord will transform your heart, and you won't conform to the world. All right, let's wrap all this up. So finally, in verse 11, we get this truth that we all belong, and especially when he says, don't lie to one another. It's such a great picture that we need to see about who we are. Verse 11, he says here, again, in that community of the church, there's no Gentile or Jew. There's no circumcised or uncircumcised, no barbarian or Scythian or slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Such a strong reminder to the diversity of the Colossian church that everybody was on equal ground because of what Jesus had done. Anybody here say themselves? Yeah. If we all go in the Titanic and this ship sinks and there's one person and they have one boat to save people from and the rest of us are all just trying to swim in the water, guess what? When it comes to saving yourself, does it matter what color your skin is? Is that going to help you save yourself any better? Does it matter how many credit cards or dollar bills are in your billfold while you're swimming? Is that going to make it any better? Does it matter how much faster or stronger or better athlete you are than anyone else? Is that going to make it better or taller or skinnier or anything? The only thing that matters is if the person in the life raft is going to come and save you, right? In our church, there are some amazing people from all walks of life. There are some people who have a little more money and some people who have a little less. And on a normal Sunday, we have people that come from different cultural backgrounds, right? Definitely. We have people of all shapes and sizes. We have people that have incredible athletic gifts, incredible speaking gifts. Some people have incredible humor. And there's some of us that are kind of like, I'm not really sure what I'm here for. But none of us, of our intrinsic ability or any of those things, are saving ourselves. Because in here, we are all in Christ, and Christ is all in all. That's what Paul's saying. It'd be very tempting in that Colossian church for the Jews to set themselves up over the Gentiles. Paul says, Christ is all in all. It'd be very tempting for those who have this long tradition of being circumcised, speaking to those who haven't been circumcised. Hey, we should get preferential treatment. Paul says, Christ is all in all. He says, even the barbarian, those that don't speak Greek, even the Scythian, those that we think are the lowest of the low, when they're in God's house and they're part of the church, they are in Christ, and Christ is all in all. The slave guy that is still trying to pay off his debt, and he has a different life and doesn't have his own home, is not with his family, he is the same as the master over here on this pew, because in here, Christ is all in all. And so therefore, I need to not lie to one another. Can we dig in the weeds just a little bit here for a second? I need to be careful, especially of my own church family, that I don't have malice or jealousy or lust towards other people that are part of my church family. Why? Because they belong to Christ. They're that precious. Let that sink in your heart how important that it is that we treat one another that way. One of the best things we can do to fight temptation is to see Jesus in all. I would not lie to Christ or show rage to Christ or slander Christ, so why would I do this to my brother or sister? What a great truth, right? If I know Jesus is in Brother John, I need to treat Brother John like I would treat Jesus. If I know Jesus is in Sister Diane, I need to treat Diane like I would treat Jesus. Hello? That's what Paul's saying. Christ is all in all. And that will help you put things to death and help you get rid of things when you recognize who it is that you're serving. All right. Here's your final picture for the day. I think this is what your t-shirt should say, at least from the passage today. I love Jesus, so I'm getting rid of some things. People would ask about that, wouldn't they? What does that mean? Or you could say, I love Jesus, so I'm mortifying some things. That would really be interesting, wouldn't it? What? Do you see what the biggest change in that whole shirt is? The word after Jesus. Do you get that? Instead of I love Jesus, but it's I love Jesus, so. And that's what I want you to be, guys. I don't want you to be an I love Jesus, but whatever this or that. I want you to be I love Jesus, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set my mind and my heart on heavenly things. I'm going to put to death things like lust and evil desires and uncleanness and purity. I'm going to get rid of things like anger and rage and malice. And I'm going to recognize that Christ is in all. I love Jesus, so I'm going to do these things. Now, how about you today? I'm not going down the list. Paul went down the list pretty good today. I don't know what your area of problem is, but I want to challenge you. The Lord has just been working me over this whole weekend in my own heart to say, do I really love Jesus enough that some of those little, if you excuse the term, pet things, that I'm willing to forsake them and mortify them and push them aside? And in my heart, I know I love Jesus. So then my heart starts crying out, Lord, you got to help me because I can't do this on my own. I got to kill some of these things, get rid of some of these things. Today, some of you need to probably put some things to death. Some of you need to get rid of some things. So let's stand this morning. I just want to challenge you. What do you need to do this morning to change the but to a so on your t-shirt? I'm going to go play again. I just want to encourage you today, right there in your pew, you're welcome to have a conversation with the Lord about the things you need to get rid of, to have a conversation with the Lord about how he can change and transform you and that you're surrendering yourself to him. But today, if it helps you, and it helps many this way, I would encourage you, if you want to get a friend and come down to this altar and just together pray. You don't have to lay out all your dirty laundry to your friend. Just say, I need the help, Lord's help to change me. Would you pray with me that the Lord will help change me, that he'll help me put to death those things I need to get rid of and help me to really pursue him with my greatest passion? So as we play this morning, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, I invite you to come and to pray together.